I am joined this afternoon by Christian Rasmussen, driving for Andretti Autosport in Indy Lights this year. Christian, first off, man, how you doing today? And how's the week been after your first victory in Indy Lights?
Yeah, thank you very much for having me. I'm doing great today. It's been pretty calm this week. I've had a couple of interviews on top of the win, but it's been good. Have some time to just kind of let it all sink in. Finally getting the monkey off my back with getting that first win in Indy Lights. So it's been good. Just back to the preparations, doing in the gym, and getting all that done so we can stay on top and hopefully do the same thing at Mid-Ohio.
All right. Well, before we kind of talk about, you know, this year and maybe a little bit, you know, looking back onto, you know, the road to Indy as a whole, for those who maybe aren't familiar with Christian Rasmussen, how did you first get involved into motorsports as a kid? You know, what were some of the early things you drove and we'll take it from there.
Yeah, I started in a go-kart when I was 5 years old back home in Denmark. My dad has a car dealership, so the interest for cars were always there.
Sure.
From a very young age. So transitioning into a go-kart was very natural. It first came from where we have our summer house in Denmark. There's a local karting track. So I first got into a go-kart there, and then my older cousins actually started racing as well. And me being a few years younger than they were, obviously kind of looking up to them, I wanted to start karting as well. And so I did. So I started racing every Sunday in like a local kart track back to my home in Copenhagen. And yeah, just kind of developed through all the letters of karting back home. Went into a real race kart when I was about 10. Won the Danish championship in karting back in 2015.
Nice.
After that, I transitioned into cars, did 2 years of car racing back home in Denmark, Formula Ford and F4. And that's when I was at a crossroad and kind of was looking at what to do with the rest of my career. And that's where I got my eyes open to the US and how great of an opportunity there is for young drivers to develop through the letters of motorsports over here. And kind of made the jump over here in 2018, doing the F4 series with J. Howard Driver Development. Moved into USF 2000, got third in the championship in my first year. Won the USF 2000 championship in 2020, moved into Indy Pro for the next year, won that championship, which has gotten me into Indy Lights this year with Andretti Autosport.
So, you know, back when you were, you know, doing the F4 Danish championship and Formula Ford and whatnot, were, you know, a lot of young European drivers like, okay, you know, I want to go to F1, but you made, in my opinion, the right move in looking at the, you know, the Road to Indy series, which is a fantastic ladder series. Was there any consideration to, you know, hey, you know, I'm here, it's maybe I can get an F3 ride, or, you know, was it a pretty easy determination to come here to the States?
So the thing is, I come from a very regular family with not huge financial backing.
Sure, sure.
So we could probably have afforded a year of F4 going to the German series, maybe the Italian series that were like the highest ranked F4 series back then.
Right.
But then you look at it, and then what's the next step? That's to go into F3. And we simply just couldn't see a way to find the money to go there. And that's where we kind of got introduced to the US and how they do it over here. And then I went to F4. There was a scholarship on the line that year. But then being in the US for a year, you kind of realize how great of an opportunity there is in the Road to Indy. And you kind of realize that that's really the place to be. And that's why we transitioned into the Road to Indy.
Awesome. So out of curiosity, if you had done, you know, F F3 Italy or F4 Italy and kind of, you know, moved on from there. What's a typical budget for a car like that? I know it's expensive still, but what is a, you know, general budget, at least as of, you know, 4 or 5 years ago?
Yeah, so yeah, because obviously I've been out of Europe for a while now, so I'm sure all the budget has gone up even further. But from what we heard, a F4 budget would be around 300,000 euros.
Okay.
And to transition into F3 would be around 1 million.
Cool.
So it was a lot of money, and that was just simply not obtainable for us at the time.
So as a kid growing up, who were, you know, some of your racing heroes? Who did you, you know, kind of look up to, and have you gotten to meet any of them now that you're, you know, driving professionally?
I mean, obviously, I think that's a big one for a lot of race car drivers. I think Ayrton Senna is definitely one of my heroes. Obviously, didn't get to meet him for obvious reasons. But then again, also just looking at all the Danish drivers that has done so well, in Tom Christensen, Kevin Magnussen, obviously, Jan Magnussen back in the day as well. So yeah. I think having a lot of those national people doing so well in the series, just, I mean, those were kind of the ones that you were looking up to, and are looking up to.
I was
fortunate enough to drive with in Jan Magnussen's team back home in Denmark in F4. He had his own F4 team at the time, so being super close with him was also a great motivation to continue the career.
Have you gotten to know and talk to fellow Danish driver Christian Lundgaard at all?
Yeah, so we're very close, actually.
Okay,
we grew up karting together. And was really close back when we were younger. Then I moved off to the US and he moved on to Europe. So we kind of drifted apart a little bit, just not being close to each other, being able to hang out. But now that he's come over here, we've become super close again. We live in the same apartment complex.
Okay.
So we hang out. Yeah, I would say almost every day. So it's great to have a familiar face around in this big world where it can be, you know, kind of lonely being across the Atlantic by yourself as an overseas driver. So having a familiar face has been very good, very good for me.
Awesome, man. So let's talk a little road to Indy. Kind of you're working your way up the ladder. You had 2 years at Indy Light, 2 years at USF 2000, a year at Indy Pro, and you won a lot of races. A lot of different tracks. So is there, you know, tracks along the way that maybe you're definitely not racing it at anymore? I know, you know, New Jersey Motorsports Park, for example, is not on the Indy Light schedule. But is there kind of a track or maybe a weekend before Indy Lights that sticks out as, like, you know, one of those kind of trophy case moments where you're like, you know, this weekend just from start to finish was perfect?
There's a few over the years, I think, that stands out. I think the one that really stands out for me was 2019 in Toronto when I got my first win in the road to Indy.
Yeah.
I had a lot of my family there. I had a lot of family friends there coming in for the race. So being able to bring home my first win for me personally was big, but it just made it so much better to have all your family there and friends to support you. So that one stands out to me. I think the ovals, my oval win at Lucas Oil in 2020 in USF 2000 for the Freedom 70. So Freedom 75, and also the year after in Indy Pro, backing it up with the Freedom 90 win. They both stood out to me, especially coming from overseas where ovals is not a thing. Like, we don't do any ovals at all. So being able to go in and actually win the second race ever on an oval, and then the third race as well in the Freedom 90 the year after. So those also stand out to me as well.
So you've obviously driven on a couple ovals this year, and I think, or last year and the year before, like you mentioned, I think, are you testing at Iowa soon?
Yes, we're going to Iowa next week.
Okay. So Iowa's, you know, smaller, a little bit more like a, I don't know, maybe a bull ring, I guess, than some other ovals. Have you talked to anybody about how Iowa might be different than some of the ovals you've been on and kind of what to expect?
Not too much yet. We're kind of slowly getting our preparation started for Iowa now. But I have great opportunities to do that. Being a part of Andretti Autosports, there's so much knowledge to feed off of from the IndyCar drivers. I've gotten to know a few IndyCar drivers through Andretti and through working out at Pitford Training. So I'm sure whenever we get a little bit closer, I'll start to ask some questions about what to expect for Iowa. So it's going to be a new oval for me, but so far the ovals has been pretty good to me. So I'm just excited for putting another oval on my CV and hopefully bring the car back in one piece and have a good test there to prepare for the race later on this year.
Awesome. So, you know, you mentioned it, so I'll transition here. You're part of Andretti, you have three other Indy Lights drivers and four IndyCar drivers to talk to. Is there, you know, advice from one of the IndyCar drivers that kind of sticks out in your mind, like something that you can go to on a weekend basis when you're racing and getting prepared?
So far, not really. But you just kind of learn just the general, I guess, routine on the race weekends as well. I've been fortunate enough to be on Romain Grosjean's pit stand a few times to kind of listening in on the radio to see how he works. So I think it's nothing in particular, but just be like knowing how they operate and how they do all their routines within the different engineers, but also from engineer to driver and the other way around has been very cool to experience.
Awesome. So, you know, real quick before I kind of wrap it up with some Indy Lights talk, nothing going on this weekend. What does Christian Rasmussen do to relax and have fun?
Well, I'm sure I'm going to be hanging out with Christian. So whatever we'll do, we picked up pickleball a lot. So we a lot of pickleball, the two of us. So maybe we'll go play pickleball and just, enjoy the good weather there.
I'm Bruce Martin, host of Pit Pass Indy. Each week, I go behind the scenes of the NTT IndyCar Series and introduce our listeners to the biggest stars of IndyCar, which features the Indianapolis 500 as its cornerstone event. The men and women that compete in IndyCar may be the bravest athletes in all of sport, as danger lurks around every corner. They are able to look danger in the eye without flinching. That is why the NTT IndyCar Series features the best racing on the planet. Join me every week as we talk to the stars of IndyCar, including the legends of the Indianapolis 500, on Pit Pass Indy from Evergreen Podcast.
Hi, listeners. We wanted to take a moment to tell you about another podcast from Evergreen Podcasts and Sound Talent Media called Pit Lane Parlay. Pit Lane Parlay is the go-to podcast for IndyCar and motorsports-related news. Each episode, we discuss things like our favorite drivers, news clips from the last week, and generally giving each other a hard time about predictions we've made in the past and or life stories that have come up recently. We really have a lot of fun with it and really enjoy each other's company, and we hope you can come join us too. Join Pit Lane Parlay by following us on your favorite podcast today.
So much like a heat wave going all over Indianapolis right now, so it's almost unbearable to be outside, but I'm sure we'll be out there and enjoy the good weather while it's here and just kind of hang out and slowly get my preparation started for Iowa.
Yeah, man, it is unbearably hot here. I don't even like letting the dog outside this week because it's just painful. It's oppressive just to walk outside.
It's like a wall you hit as soon as you walk out. It's absolutely crazy. I'm definitely not used to that from back home.
No.
And especially with my pale skin, it's hard. it's a struggle.
Yeah, no, I understand. I like the cold weather. So anything above 80, and I think I was saying this on another interview the other day, it's too much.
It's too much for me as well, man.
Let's talk Indy Lights here. I guess kind of, and I'm stealing a Rob Howden question here. So thank you, Rob, for asking it repeatedly so I remember it. But a lot of guys say, and Rob says, that the biggest jump on the, you know, car list is going from an Indy Pro 2000 car to an Indy Lights car, even more so than Indy Lights to Indy car. Do you agree? And if so, kind of why?
So far, I haven't been in an IndyCar yet, so I can't talk about from lights to IndyCar, but definitely going from USF 2000 to Indy Pro was quite easy for me. They're very similar in the way that they need to be driven in terms of technique and everything. And transitioning into the lights car is very different. You're quite a bit heavier. You obviously have a lot more downforce, a lot more power. You have all the push to pass stuff going on as well. So it's been it took a little while to get used to the car and how it needs to be driven. But I feel like we're slowly getting there. Andretti Autosport has a great testing program in the winter time, so being part of that prepared me for the season, and we almost thought that we were going to get the win already in St. Pete.
Sure.
Obviously that didn't happen, unfortunately, but just being able to run up front in the first weekend shows you how great the team is to prepare you for the challenge coming from the Indy Pro car. Prepare you for the challenge to compete already for the first weekend.
So, you know, looking at the Indy Lights championship, you know, a week ago this time, people were saying, oh, Christian Linus Lundqvist is going to run away with the championship, and then this weekend comes in, you win, you know, you and four or five other guys are, you know, kind of right there within grasp of the, you know, championship lead in the second half of the season here. So I know this season outside of Road America maybe hasn't gone exactly how you wanted it to, but, you know, what can you take from these, maybe the rounds that didn't go as well, for the second half of the season?
I think it's important to look at how much pace we've actually had also the previous weekends to Road America.
Yeah.
I was going to win the first round in St. Pete, had the fastest lap there. Obviously we had the issue that took us out of the race, but showing the pace already that weekend, we had the pace at Barber in the rain. After my incident there, I was definitely the fastest car on track. In the GP, I was really coming on towards the end of the wet race. Detroit first race, I was like a few hundredths off the fastest lap time in the race there as well. So just every single weekend, we've had the pace to run up front, at least in the races, but just have had no results to show for it. So it was great to get the monkey off my back at Road America and hopefully carry that momentum on for the rest of the season. I don't think it's pace that we've been lacking. I think it's more a luck thing, other than Detroit that was on my part. But sure, the rest of the season has been just unlucky for me, having the incidents that I've had. That has kind of put us back a little bit in the championship fight. So what we can do now is just focus on race wins, get as many of them as we can, because this series, the way that the point system are, really reward winning. So we're just gonna go out and try and do a lot more of that, and then see where we stack up at the end of the season.
Awesome. Well, we'll wrap it up here with one last, hopefully easy question here. We haven't been able to do this in a while, but we have a Pit Lane Parlay Drivers Spotify Choice list playlist. Ooh. You were to add one song, or, you know, if there's a favorite artist, I'll just pick a song at random. What would you add?
So I'm really that's hard. Put me on the spot here. There's so many good songs out there. I really like 90s hip hop. So probably some early Eminem, Snoop Dogg, Dr. Dre, stuff like that. I really like.
All right, we will add a Snoop Dogg song in here. We'll go. Let's see here.
Let's do that.
Let's go back to old Snoop. Probably when I was a kid. Oh God, I'm old. Anyway, yeah. I first off appreciate the taste in music. That's fantastic because there are some weeks we get, or you know, it's been a while, but I get answers. I'm like, I don't know what this is, and right. I listen to it. And I'm like, this is horrendous.
You know what? You can add the Juicy by Notorious B.I.G.
Ah, perfect. All right, we will
add that one.
Here we go. We will add that one in there. Add playlist. And when the interview comes out this weekend, I'll also tweet out the playlist again for everybody. But Christian, man, I appreciate your time this afternoon here. It's been a lot of fun catching up, and look forward to catching up in Mid-Ohio and seeing your success the rest of the year.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
No problem, man. Have a good one.
You too.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.